everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 150. Today is January 10th, 2012, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and with us today, Mr. Mike Chin.
Present,
thank you. Kurt, courteous, good. And also, Mr. Chris Matthew.
Also present.
Thank you. Our roster is down one. No, Mr. Richard Primrose.
I don't regret stabbing him. I cried as I did it, but, you know.
Some things have to be done. Yeah, we're not sure what happened to Mr. Primrose.
No idea. He could really be dead. We're joking about it right now.
Yeah, I would hate that to be the case. I think the more likely scenario, sleep.
He's probably in bed.
Probably sleeping on top of his laptop in his sleeping bag.
He'll probably turn up in about an hour going, crashed. The whole time.
Battlefield 3. Mm. Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, let's talk real fast. 150 shows. 150 shows.
Yeah. Is it really? Is this the 150th?
It is. This is the 150th. You know, and I thought, you know, we could do something crazy, something special. But then I thought, you know what? No, we're just like workhorses. We just keep going.
Why
celebrate 150 when we can celebrate 200?
Yeah, we should do some. We didn't do anything for 100, did we? I remember it came around and we was like, we might do something. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. I was talking over you. What did you say?
That's okay. I was talking over you.
But I was talking over you.
And it was a bad joke.
Oh, right. Okay.
I said, we all exist to serve this ship. So row well and live.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Greg, it wasn't that joke.
I got nothing.
Nothing there.
You know, I think what I do have, I think we've got some what you've been playing conversations.
Booyah.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, well, you know, I'm going to take the lead. Why not?
I knew you was. I knew you was going to take it.
You knew. You know why?
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I got a lot to talk about.
Really?
Not really about what I've been playing, though. Because let me say, Skyrim has ruled my life. First and foremost, that is pretty much all I played last week. A large part of that due to the fact that my son was sick for a majority of the week, and so I found myself often having a sleeping child with a snotty nose near me or on my lap, and so playing Skyrim with headphones on was perfect.
Sweet.
But today I did manage, and I don't know why I did this, Mike, and Chris, I can tell you now you will want to skip. Final Fantasy 13, the demo.
Whoa.
Why would I want to skip?
Well, maybe you won't. I don't know, but...
You mean I want to skip the game, or I want to skip this part of the show?
No, you just may want to skip the demo.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. I thought you meant I wanted to skip this part of the show.
No, I'm not going to go at length over this. It just reaffirmed exactly why I don't like Japanese games. They're just too quirky, too odd. The voice acting just comes across so just... I mean, just like you're reading it right off a piece of paper. And I don't know. It might be a great game for those that enjoy Japanese RPGs, but for me, it was a lackluster thud.
See, I was surprised that you were playing this at all because I know you are not a fan in any way, shape, or form of the JRPG genre.
I know.
I think I might be the only one of the four of us that actually might consider it. But given that I have not even finished Final Fantasy XIII, I probably won't.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I wanted to give it a shot, and I think that's why I downloaded the demo. I threw it on there because, you know, I thought, you know what, maybe my tastes have changed. Maybe I'll be willing to give it a shot. Because I will say it's a beautiful game. Once you get into the open world environments, it looks fantastic. But I mean, that's kind of where everything stops for me. I don't really enjoy the combat, it's a turn-based combat, but it's all kind of done from a stationary viewpoint. It just feels very old school. And then just some of the characters and, the sidekick characters are what really just takes me out of it. I don't even know what this little character thing is that comes with you in the game, but it looks like a kind of like a floating bunny with cropped ears with a red Rudolph nose. that's my description from my memory. But yeah, so Final Fantasy XIII demo, it's out. I'm sure Japanese RPG fans will love it. Just not my bag. And then I made another mistake. Azura's Wrath has a demo up on Xbox Live as well.
People are talking about this game like it's like going to be good.
I think if if you like Japanese style games, you are going to very much enjoy this. It kind of really has a Dragon Ball Z kind of feel to it. And I don't know the back history of this game, if it's in somehow, you know, some way related to it. I don't think it is, but it definitely has that kind of animation and character feel. And it's over the top crazy. They drop you kind of into midway points of the game. And it's weird. It's a mixture of kind of side-scrolling combat. There's also, you know, quick time event combat coupled in with some kind of on rails combat. It was a very weird vibe I got from the game in terms of the combat and fighting against this. You basically are kind of fighting against a colossal god-like character, at least on the chapter I played. The dialogue is ridiculous, over the top, but I can't tell if they're purposely, you know, making it over the top or if they were trying to make a serious effort.
That's not a good sign.
Well, you know, it's not a good sign for me. For somebody else who enjoys like Dragon Ball Z, I bet this game will hit a home run for them.
That's not a good sign either.
Yeah, it looks really nice. It controlled pretty well. So, I mean, I don't have any complaints about, you know, those elements. Really, it was just, again, the aesthetic.
Just not your thing.
Yeah. It was another strikeout for me. And, well, you know, hey, I at least wanted to give it a fair shake, so I played it as much of it as I could. And then when the demigod was out in space yelling down at me on Earth, I said I had enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Other big thing that happened. CES. Yeah, CES is kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, yeah, Mike, you saw me up on Twitter last night. I was tweeting away.
Yep, you
about the CES keynotes. Watched both the Sony and the Microsoft keynote speeches.
I got amazingly bored very quickly.
Yeah, you could, especially if you weren't able to watch it and get the audio.
Yeah, I couldn't. I only had the live blog available.
Yeah, I'll say this. The Sony press conference was very prototypical Sony press conference. It was, you know, march out a bunch of guys, show off a bunch of different tech. You know, they talked about 3D TV and they really kind of pushed their connected experience and their Music Unlimited and Video Unlimited, you know, services. And they talked about 4K resolution. You know, now that we're just all getting used to our 1080p TVs,
yep.
Expect the future to be 4K.
Oh, so they're skipping the 2K ones, then?
Yeah, no 2K for us. It's going straight to 4K.
Wow.
You will work harder to afford our TVs. They talked about Vita a little bit. It wasn't anything earth-shattering for video gamers, I think. Neither conference really was, to be honest. the Microsoft conference, I will say this. I really enjoyed the presentation they put on up until a certain point, and I'll get to that in a second. But basically, the way they handled the Microsoft press conference, Steve Ballmer came out.
Did he come out sweating and just shouting?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, here was the thing. So Ryan Seacrest, I know, Ryan Seacrest of American Idol was kind of the moderator. He came out and then brought Steve Ballmer out onto the floor, and they actually sat at a little round table in the middle of the stage, and it was kind of like they just were having a conversation about the technology.
Yeah, just a chat.
Just chatting, and then as certain things came up.
The guys riffing.
I mean, really, that's the way it was kind of presenting itself. And then they would have, you know, other people come out on stage that were actually going to demo certain technology and that kind of thing. And I really thought it all worked really well. Up until they decided they were going to check in with Twitter and see.
This is the choir thing, right?
Yeah, see what all the people were tweeting about from the
Twitter conference. Went crazy when this happened.
So they brought out no joke, a choir from I believe it was a Las Vegas evangelical group. I honestly don't know where they were from. I saw Las Vegas under kind of some of their garb, but this choir started singing all the different tweets. And it was just, I mean, it was kind of a real low moment. It was like, you know what? I was really digging it. Oh, Tweet Choir.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did it not work at all? Was it just not?
No, it was like
good?
The biggest fail. I mean,
okay.
It was probably as bad. No, it was worse. It was worse. Sony brought Kelly Clarkson out to wrap up their show.
Oh, yeah.
And listening to Kelly Clarkson go back and forth with Howard Stringer in itself was comedy gold just because of how awkward and just disingenuous it felt.
Love the graphics.
But just having Kelly Clarkson singing for their conference felt odd. Because
Really? You
had this parade of basically, you know, Japanese developer and you know, VP after VP coming out on stage. And then Kelly Clarkson comes out and sings a song and the show's over. It's kind of synopsis there.
What did she sing?
Her latest hit, and I can't remember.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. She sang a latest, and she's completely not interested in selling a record or anything?
Well, she's under the Sony label. So
you
kind of figured there was a little bit of obligation for Kelly Clarkson to perform when Sony requested. But, again, just felt odd for CES, Kelly Clarkson, okay. But getting back to the Microsoft reveal, you know, they talked about a lot of Windows 8 and the new Metro look and how Windows 8 continue the Metro look. I mean, honestly, everything is in the future for Microsoft right now. It looks like it's going to be, you know, Metro look and app driven. And that, yep. I mean, apps were another big key. Connected experiences and apps were like everywhere. They announced some new Xbox Live partners through, you know, a lot of Fox stations coming on board. They talked about the Kinect for PC, and we'll talk about that later during our news quiz, but that was a part of the reveal that came out. Not that we already didn't know it was coming, but it officially got a date and is coming, and so they talked about that. And then the last bit, and this was the only other real gaming-related thing they talked about, was two-way TV.
And God.
Now, I hear you, Mike. Because
I don't, you know what? I don't want to talk to Elmo.
Well, see, now here's the funny thing. I am 99.9% positive this is where the Milo tech went.
Mm.
You know, into two-way TV. Now, two-way TV at present is, you know, their first application of it is going to be with Sesame Street. I will be on the record saying if it really works as good or even close to how they had it working on
the
TV. I'm sorry?
Works as well.
works as well. Thank you. It's going to be a huge hit. I mean, huge hit for the younger gamers and mom and dads all across the world, because having your kid being able to interact and talk to Elmo through the TV, throw things to him, that kind of thing, it's going to make kids go crazy. Now, how that works?
So the image of a kid going crazy is just funny.
honestly, when you get to the core of the tech, it is that Milo tech. It's talking to a avatar character on screen and having them react to what you're doing, having you making gestures and motions towards the character on screen, and it representing something as simple as, you know, for the demonstration they had on TV or in the show, it was this little girl was tossing some coconuts to the Cookie Monster. And she would make the throwing motion, and suddenly you would see a coconut come onto the screen through the TV. And the Cookie Monster would react. And he would react to her sitting back down and refusing to throw a coconut back to him, that kind of thing. So there really felt like there was that interaction going on. And if they can bring that beyond just Sesame Street to other games, it's, again, an interesting use of the Kinect technology and kind of a look into some of the future of where potentially gaming is going to be going. See? So now you won't just say grenade, Mike. You're going to throw the grenade.
At Elmo.
Anyway, but that was it. I mean, the show wrapped up, and no surprise, no huge announcements being made at CES, but some interesting stuff.
Also Xbox 720.
Also Xbox, yeah, there was just that.
Just that end.
I will say they did show off a new phone camera, a smartphone that had a camera inside of it, 16 megapixel camera inside the phone. I was thinking 8 was awesome.
The thing is, they can make that CCD on the camera as awesome as they want and pack as many sensors on there as they want. The picture quality can only go so far because of the quality of the lens that you can put on a camera.
True.
Yeah. So it's
fair enough.
It's kind of just like, look at this.
It's a number though, Chris, I think. People like measurements. You know?
People who don't really know how cameras work will be like, oh, that's awesome. You know?
I still thought it was awesome.
A 16 megapixel camera is still going to give you a blurry image when you have a thumbprint on the lens.
Fair enough, Mr. Matthew. Fair enough. All right, why don't we move on to you, since you were so kind to comment.
Since I was so kind to be curmudgeonly towards your awesome camera?
Yes, bastard.
Yeah, well, that's what you get.
Deal. That's what I get.
Learn to live with disappointment. What have I been playing? Well, I've been playing a little bit more Halo Anniversary. Still digging it. Halo Reach. I've taken a pause on working on the single-player campaign, but I need to get back to it. But I did play some Firefight last night with Shinyverse, and that was good fun. Although we were playing the no-fail version of Firefight with infinite health and infinite rockets. But that was good.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun just to sit there for 30 minutes just blowing crap up.
Yeah, that's fun.
Blowing crap up doesn't get old. Especially with rockets in Halo. Because they are especially fun.
It was good times. Let's see, what else? Been playing some Forza 4, which I'll talk about under the community events bit. Mo Battlefield 3. I finally have achieved one of each ribbon in the game. So that's cool.
That is cool.
Not each medal, mind you, just each ribbon.
Yeah, we weren't going to give you that much credit.
Yeah, fair enough. This is an old game. I think it was actually chiseled on stone tablets, but I played some Full Auto this week.
Wasn't that a launch title or close to it?
It may well have been.
Okay.
And it might have been a great game in 2006, but in 2012, it's crap.
As I recall, it was never considered a great game.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. It always had the promise of being awesome.
Yeah. But I finished it, finally. All the achievements done. 6 years later.
Yeah. Now, here's a question for you. Having recently played Full Auto, is it me or do you think they would have – that game could have benefited a ton by having just a replay camera?
Because, a replay camera, yeah.
Yeah, because there were so many of the, like, explosions and stuff going on in and around you that you never got to see because you blew past it.
Yeah. The overall kind of game itself, I mean, that was in the very early days of the Xbox, obviously. The Xbox Live features on it are lacking in general.
Ah.
You know, very difficult to get your friends together for a match.
Especially when they don't have the game anymore.
Well, right. There's 10 ranks, right? You can rank up 1 through 10. But there's no way within the game to check what rank you are or how far along you are towards the next one. You just kind of have to keep playing and hope your achievement unlocks.
Got it.
But anyway, whatever. Done with it. Put it in the recycle. On to the next thing.
Which is?
Fable 3. Fable 3 has sucked me back in big time. I thought I was done with it. I'd kind of just gotten fed up with it. I was like, whatever, you know, Peter Molyneux and your stupid 50 weapons. But Parsnipnose 3000 recently decided he was going to get back into finding the weapons. And I was like, yeah, what the heck? I'll work with him on it. And so I've been playing a lot of Fable 3 lately. And really, for all the technical flaws of the game, there is just a certain charm to the Fable games that makes them fun to play.
Absolutely. I think the world and the environments themselves are fantastic.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying that. I'm up to 46 out of the 50 required weapons. So I just gotta.
Do you know which weapons you're missing?
Yes.
You know where they're located, or?
Well, so that's the thing, is they're not located. I have to find other people who have them to trade.
Okay.
That was kind of the whole thing with it, was in any one game, you can only get a maximum, I think, of 26 out of the 50.
Really?
So I've played through the game twice and done some trading around to get, and had some people gift me some, to get to 46 out of 50. So now I've just been kind of going around to different internet forums and posting messages to see if anybody wants to do some trading. And we'll see.
Okay.
But, you know, it's odd. Like, it seems like such a pain in the butt grinding achievement, and it kind of is, but at the same time, I've been kind of enjoying it. I don't know. It's weird. It's, you know, I think it's because I'm working with somebody else to get there, and so that's what makes it enjoyable. You know, if it was just me trying to grind it out, I would be like, this sucks. But since I'm working with someone else to get there, it kind of makes it interesting. And lastly, to finish up my list shortly, I finally, after years of being beat up by the two British people on the show, put the orange box in and decided to give Portal a go.
Yay.
It's good.
Yay.
I haven't got very far into it, but I can kind of see the cleverness of it. I don't know if it's the most amazing thing ever, but it is interesting. So I'll let you know as I get farther along. Most of the puzzles I'm doing right now are pretty simple.
Okay.
Cool.
I don't know. How many rooms are there total? Because I think I've been through like 10 rooms.
As I recall, Portal's not a terribly long game.
Portal is not a long game.
Yeah.
I see.
I don't want to spoil it. Just keep going.
No, it's all right. I was just curious.
You're roughly about halfway.
Mike, you're worried about spoiling a game that came out, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, no, I mean, he hasn't played it.
It's kind of well beyond the
Chris, the
statute of limitations on spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler, the cake is a lie. And that still will not spoil anything within the game.
I kind of already know the cake is a lie because I've heard it said so many times.
Yeah.
It's all right.
But when you see it, you'll be like, oh, the cake is a lie.
Did I talk last week about my gaming resolutions?
No. Do you have some New Year's gaming resolutions?
I made some New Year's gaming resolutions. So this is probably the section of the show to talk about it. Nothing really profound. It's probably actually just a resolution to keep doing what I've been doing. But I've set a goal for myself by January 1st, 2013. I want to get my gamer score to 105,000.
Okay.
I'm almost to 97,000 right now, so that might not be that hard to get to.
Now, may I ask, is that 105,000 while maintaining an 80% completion rate?
Well, see, there's the thing, because I have also set a goal to get from 60 to 70 completed games this year. So I want to get 10 more completed games this year. So that should help me maintain my completion percentage.
Okay.
And the games that I am planning to make those 10 completed games out of, because I know you're all very interested in that, Mass Effect 3, Borderlands 2, and Skyrim, which could be a challenge because I don't have any of those yet.
Skyrim.
Modern Warfare 2, that one, that's probably going to be the tough one on the list. Fable 3, Forza 4, Fallout New Vegas, Transformers War for Cybertron.
Damn.
Which I'm almost done with. I'm almost done with Fable 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Transformers War for Cybertron. So I kind of went through my list and picked games that I was close to done with.
So you kind of preloaded your list a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're giving yourself a little boost, a little, you know.
I wanted to be realistic. I was basically setting a goal of clearing some games out of my pile of shame. How's that?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Full Auto, which I just completed today. And Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which will also be a challenge because I don't own that one either.
What made you say Harry Potter?
Because I have all but one achievement from that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enough said. I did not know you had played that game.
I did a long time ago before I realized that movie tie-in games were always terrible.
Yeah, there haven't been... Yeah, there really hasn't been any good movie tie-in game.
Yeah.
Wolverine.
Now, that one was good, Mike. That was good. I did complete that one to 100%. Yeah.
GoldenEye 007.
Let's not go too far, Mike.
That was the only two.
See, GoldenEye 007 wasn't really... Was it really a movie tie-in, though? I mean, did you actually play the movie?
Yep, pretty much.
Because I guess in Wolverine you didn't really play the movie either, did you?
No, not really.
GoldenEye, you definitely play the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it.
Okay, there you have it. Mike, what about you? What have you been playing?
Saints Row the Third.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is very good. It's got songs in it. I like that. It's got cars in it. I also like cars and jumping and stuff. They're all cool things. I love jets as well, Greg. And guess what? This game has jets.
How do you feel about purple jets. Dildos?
Purple dildos, I'm neither here nor there, to be honest. But the game does contain massive purple dildos, so
I could have done without that.
Yeah. You know, I'm fairly on the fence about those things. It's great. It's so much fun. And I play it for 24 hours, not straight. But I played it all in co-op as well, and it's just great. But the only thing I'll say about it is it felt like Saints Row 2 lasted longer to me.
Okay.
It is a relatively short game.
Yeah. I mean, in story and in the side quests as well, because I've done all the side missions, I've done the assassinations, I've done all the story, and I'm done. You know.
And it doesn't have, if I'm not mistaken, it does not have like just a free roaming co-op mode.
Someone come into your game and you can just wander around the city doing whatever the heck you want.
Yeah,
that's okay. Never mind. I was under the impression it did not, but that's good to hear.
You know, you can just join somebody's game and if they want to do a mission, they just click mission and you say, yes, I want to do a mission. Or you can split up and just buy some clothes and it all carries over or whatever you want to do.
Buy some purple bats and whack each other.
Yeah. You know. The only thing annoying about that is like when you split up, all of a sudden the police start going crazy at you and you're like, what did you do? And the other guy's like, yeah, I did just blow up 500 helicopters. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Because like, you got to mind your own business or something, and, you know, you changing your clothes or something. And then all the you walk outside, you got like half the army after you. You're like, what have you done? It's like, oh, yeah, I've run out of five people. Oh. Sorry.
There's new DLC coming for the, apparently, for Saints Row the Third, Genki Bowl 7.
Yeah, I looked at the trailer of the DLC that's coming, and it starts off with a panda with a chainsaw, which...
Well, that's a good start.
That's a good start. And then there's also a massive ball of string rolling through the street, destroying everything. I don't know how much it is, but please just fill in the blank space, and I will donate that many Microsoft points to get the DLC. Thanks.
Yeah. I bought the season pass, so I get a discount. I was really, you know, they have a lot of DLC for it that's just like new clothes or new items or whatever. I was really hoping they come up with some new missions. It looks as though they have done so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great game. I think it's so funny and you know, clever is might be a bit strong, but it's witty. It's a witty game, and it's taking pops at itself and everything else. And it's a nice refresh, and it's not taking itself seriously, and it's just fun. It's just absolute fun.
Is it one of those games that you just kind of break away from and just do some ridiculous kind of side quest stuff, and it's almost kind of like it's a break from the other games?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. You know, the thing is, though, about it, Greg, is that it all works perfectly. You know, the shooting feels great. The running feels good. The driving feels good. You know, you can take people hostage and all this and jump in and parachute. Mechanically, it all works fine, and it has to work fine. It wouldn't be a good game if that all didn't work. And that all does work, but what sets it apart is that it's ridiculous. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. So it's a good game, not solely because it's funny. It's because everything works as it should, and it is funny as well. So they've mastered their craft, and they've gone crazy with it.
Okay.
Great game. I've also been playing the Assassin's Creed thing.
The Assassin's Creed thing.
Revelations. Okay.
Are you having a revelation about the Assassin's Creed IP?
I guess I am. I've got a feeling that this game could be completely missing. If this game never came out, we wouldn't tell the difference. That's the way the story's going at the moment. Right, it feels like they've already wrote Assassin's Creed 3, right? And that's coming this year. And that's coming, and it's going to be, you know, pretty interesting what they're going to do. But they went, Dave, are you busy? No, I'm just doing graphics. Dave, can you write a very like, kind of quick story that doesn't affect Assassin's Creed 3 by 12 o'clock today? Brilliant. Thanks. That's what Revelations feels like. It feels like they just shoehorned in this little, let's just do a little side kind of story thing before 3 so we can get another game out in 2011. You know, it feels like it doesn't affect. It's not going to affect any future games or anything before it. It's just there. But it's a very slow start.
You've sold me, Mike. I'm going to go buy it tomorrow.
I know, yeah. Ubisoft are on the phone right now. It's a very slow start. It's a bad start to the game.
You're really selling me.
I know. It is. It's a bad start. It's so boring at the start. And then it's not as bad as Final Fantasy 13, where you have to play for 20 hours. But about 3-4 hours in, it becomes more Brotherhood. It basically just turns into more Brotherhood, and then if you can get through the 3-hour pain barrier, it's just more Assassin's Creed, which is fine by me. There's not a lot of Desmond stuff in it.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
There's not a lot of Desmond stuff in it. That's what I was going to say.
He's just
stuck.
I fear that if they don't release Assassin's Creed 3. Or whatever is going to fill the role of Assassin's Creed 3 and move the story forward very soon, that they're going to lose some of their fan base because they are starting to kind of milk it. That's kind of what I felt like. That's why I didn't get Revelation. But anyway, yeah.
No, they are milking it. And it does feel like they've wrote this story especially so it doesn't affect 3. It feels like they already wrote 3 and they just need an in-between story. You know? They just need something that happened from this to this that don't affect either storylines or characters. They put Desmond on a floaty island. He's in limbo or, you know, whatever, and he's just got to get out of it. And they could go straight back to where they start 3 off.
Well, what I was going to ask, Mike, is this the fourth game in 3 years? So or is it four games in 4 years? I'm trying to remember.
2007 was Assassin's Creed 1. 2009 to 10, Brotherhood. Last year, 11, Revelations. So it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 games this year when they're okay. in a row. But 5 games in the last 6 years. Yeah.
And it's just the one studio that's working on this. They're not doing the Activision, we're going to have two different studios kind of working. It's one studio pumping out a game every year.
No, it's funny because when it starts off, it goes, Ubisoft Montreal presents a Ubisoft Montreal production, Ubisoft so-and-so, Ubisoft Birmingham, Ubisoft Bognor, Ubisoft Denver, Ubisoft Earth, Ubisoft Mar. Every Ubisoft department has worked on this game. Every one of them. And I think it does suffer for that, you know. Like it doesn't feel like they've made this with a lot of love, you know. They just pumped it out there because they're trying to work out how to make Assassin's Creed modern day. They're at Ubisoft's office now. If we could see a webcam, it would be 500 people, because that's how many people were there, running round going, how the hell are we going to make Assassin's Creed in the modern day? We have no idea. What have we done? I want to quit my job. You know, because I think they're struggling to work that out, because people just carry guns.
You know? Yeah, I'm almost inclined to think that we're not going to ever see a true Assassin's Creed, like, full-on in modern day. I think they'll just kind of wrap up the modern day portion of the story. We may just see a wrap-up of Assassin's Creed with 3. And then, because Assassin's Creed, if you really think about it, it's been kind of a stopgap title for them. It's been one of their breadwinners now, as some of their bigger core titles like Tom Clancy's, Rainbow Six, Splinter Cell, even Ghost Recon have all been on hiatus. You know, we haven't seen any of those titles for a little while. So
yeah, they stopped I Am Alive. You know, the people who are probably working on I Am Alive probably stopped to work on Assassin's Creed stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about I Am Alive actually in a little while as well. But
What's funny though? Let me just interject this one thing, and I've said this before. We keep talking about how they're trying to work out how to do Assassin's Creed in modern day, right?
Right.
But if you ask me, they've already worked out how to do Assassin's Creed in modern day, but they called it Splinter Cell Conviction. You know, if they just tuned that just a little bit to add a bit more sneaking around and maybe some open worldness to it, that could do it, I think.
Now, that's a good point. When you think about the modern day version of Assassin's Creed, I mean, I'll be honest, the first thing that kind of pops into my head is the Splinter Cell gameplay from Conviction. So I think it would kind of lend itself pretty well to the game.
You just blew my mind, Chris, with that.
Good job, Chris. Good job. All right. Speaking of blowing minds.
I finished Need for Speed the Run. It's terrible. And there's one thing I want to say about Need for Speed the Run. Is you play a guy called Jack Rourke. I mentioned him last week. He's an absolute dick. He's in trouble because he's a gambler, right? And every now and again in the game, you have to race against a rival, right? And basically a car with somebody in it that has a slight backstory. You know what I mean? You have to take 200 people in this game, and about 5 of them have backstories, all right? And one of them... All of them are just dicks. Everybody in this race is a dick, right? Apart from one called Caesar, right? This guy grew up in LA in a rough neighborhood, but he started a family, found new ways. This was in the loading screen, by the way. And he's using the money to better himself and his family. I don't want to overtake this guy. He's the only person in this race who's using the money to better his... So why do I want to overtake this guy? I'm playing a character that's an absolute dick, a gambler, and just a womanizer, whereas this guy is trying to support his family. I was like, I almost went, you know what? Let him win. You know, he should win. What the fuck? I want to play as that guy. Stupid game. Oh, yeah, and it crashed on me 5 times, Need for Speed the Run. So I had to send it back to Love Film, and they spent me a replacement, so I played it an hour and finished it. And I sent it back with dog turd in it.
That'd be awesome. Take a crummy game back. So Need for Speed the Run, all I have to say on that is I told you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to warn you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of warnings,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk some new releases.
New releases.
All right, so new releases this week. Not a lot going on, again. But hey, we got to talk about it. So on the Wii, nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. I mean, I guess there's some Rock Band updates if you're really desperate for something on the Wii. But, yeah, there's nothing going on there. If you have a 3DS, Steve Conger, Mr. Primrose, I got some exciting news for you. My Pet Puppy 3D. Yeah, that's out this week. You know you want some of the pet and the puppy action. There's a joke to be had there. I'm not going to go there. On the PS3 this week, nothing on the retail shelves, but a bunch of stuff coming out on PSN. Choplifter HD comes out this week for $15. Crazy Machines Elements for $10.
Yep.
Final Fantasy Origins, the PS1 classic coming out. No price point stated.
Nope.
Sports Champions, and they have in quotations PS Move compatible. Pretty sure this is PS Move required, but either way, no price point yet. And last game.
Well, technically, that is compatible, huh?
I guess yes. I guess that is compatible. Last game on the list: Toy Story 3, the video game, also PS Move compatible. A few demos coming out this week for PSN gamers. Azurus Wrath, which unless you really like
avoid.
That kind of game, skip
avoid.
It. Yeah,
avoid.
Final Fantasy 13 2.
Avoid. Avoid.
Grand Slam Tennis 2. And a game that I have no idea what it's about, Wanted Corp. Or Wanted Core. However you want to look at it. Wanted Core.
Hmm.
Yeah. A little DLC this week for PSN users. Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3. The Brawler Pack comes out for $4.
Brawler.
Going over to the Xbox 360 this week. Nothing on the retail shelves. For Xbox Live Arcade this week, you've got Choplifter HD. And the demos we already talked about, Azurus Wrath and Final Fantasy 13-2. I do believe that tennis demo is also up on the marketplace, but I'm not a big tennis person. DLC also, Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3, the Brawler Pack. Also, $4 out now. Some deals of the week. And listen up if you are so inclined to maybe purchase a game like Defense Grid.
Oh.
Yeah, on sale this week. Also, Orcs Must Die.
Oh.
On sale for 600 points. I snapped it up. Yes, it is.
I'm going to snap that up right now.
Yep. Dungeon Defenders, also on sale this week. Gold exclusive price. If you're a gold member, you get it for 800 points, normally 1,200. And South Park, the game. The tower defense game, on sale for 400 points this week.
Oh, so, really? Oh, that's not bad.
Some nice little sales there. And, of course, if you don't have Defense Grid and you even remotely like tower defense, you need that game.
Just
saying. But yeah, that's it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so news quiz time. What the hell was that?
It was Chrissy's cool alarm went off. He's being too cool.
Being too cool.
To warn you that the news quiz was beginning.
The news quiz is beginning, yes. Probably good that Mr. Primrose is not on this news quiz, because there is some Sony questions in here.
You can answer these questions. I've got a feeling you get them right.
You know what? I might. I might not, though. You never know.
You never know.
All right.
That'd be shameful.
Mike, first question. It's coming to you.
All right.
And this is, of course, we're looking at the UK charts for top 10 games this past week. So what game was number 4 on the UK charts? Number 4. Was it Just Dance 3?
Yeah.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, or Skyrim?
Just Dance 3.
You get a star.
Yay!
Yeah, the list, the official list was at number 10, Assassin's Creed Revelations, number 9, Rage, number 8, Saints Row the Third, number 7, Need for Speed The Run, number 6, Zumba Fitness, 5, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim, number 4, Just Dance 3, number 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, number 2, Battlefield 3, and sitting at number 1, FIFA 12.
FIFA! Yeah. I thought Skyrim would have been higher than 4.
Many, many thought the same thing, but no. Just can't beat Just Dance. Chris, you are up next. Are you ready?
Yep.
Just making sure we didn't lose you here. We may lose you after this question. Chris, how many units of the PS3 did Sony sell between November and December worldwide? Is it A, 2.6 million, B, 3.2 million, or C, 3.9 million.
I'm sorry, can you read the choices?
How many units did Sony sell of the PS3 between November and December worldwide? Was it 2.6 million, 3.2 million, or 3.9 million?
I have a feeling Sony's touting big success, so 3.9 million.
You have a good feeling. Yes, Sony stated they sold a whopping 3.9 million PS3s between November and December, and they said they are on target to reach their 15 million PS3 sales projection for the fiscal year.
That's a lot of doorstops.
Yeah, they did say they also shifted about 1.6 million PSP units, of course, we know a lot of that comes from the land of the rising sun, but hey, listen to this. They also sold about 500,000 PS2s. Who is still buying PS2s? That's what I want to know. Who?
You know, dude, there are people out there who don't have $400 to plonk down on a new console. I'm just saying.
Damn, okay.
Especially if they got young kids, you know? Like, if you got young kids that want to play games.
Yeah, I can do that.
Probably a PS2 is the way to go, because if they break it, it's, you know, you're out $50.
But isn't the Wii kind of down in that price point now? I don't know.
Who plays the Wii?
Good point. Touche. Hey, also from the whole
season, Steve.
Some Microsoft numbers came out. Xbox 360 in their CES 2012 keynote, Steve Ballmer said 66 million Xbox 360s have now been sold. And he says 18 million Kinect sensors were also sold in total, and nearly 40 million Xbox Live members. So, man, there you go.
A lot of members.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Next question, Mike.
All right.
How much will Microsoft's newly announced Microsoft Flight cost you?
Microsoft Flight? What the hell is that?
Microsoft Flight. Microsoft used to make a flight simulator, PC. They put it on hiatus. They brought it back out. Surprise announcement. Is it going to be A, $59.99, B, $39.99, C, $19.99, or D, free to play? How much is Microsoft going to charge you to play a Microsoft Flight?
Free to play.
You would be correct. Microsoft Flight, free to play. Yeah. Major Nelson announced that via Twitter. Kind of exciting. You play it right in your PC, browser-based game. Doesn't take much.
Yeah, I remember I played Flight Simulator in 98. I had a PC in Christmas 1997, and I had Flight Simulator in 98, and I managed to take the plane off the ground, Greg. That was successful.
That's success.
And then it got bored and then left the room, and when I came back, a 747 was upside down in the sky. And I was like, I'm never going to be a pilot.
And there, that ended your pilot career.
I thought it was on autopilot. I clicked some of that said autopilot, and it was upside down when I came back.
Ironically, so. Mike, I think that's the conversation a lot of pilots have when they crash. I thought it was on autopilot.
Or maybe it was on auto drunk pilot.
Chris, you are up next. Which of these games is not part of Microsoft's house party for Xbox Live in 2012? house party coming up in, I believe, March timeframe. Is it A, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, B, EA's Warp Zone Nexus, or C, I Am Alive? Which game is not part of the house party?
I'm sorry, read the answers again.
Which game is not part of Microsoft's house party? Is it A, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, B, EA's Warp Zone Nexus, or C, I Am Alive?
I'm going to go with I Am Alive because I thought Chinny said they canceled that.
I know.
Tell me, Chinny.
They didn't cancel I Am Alive. They handed the developer to another developer. They handed the game to another developer, Chris.
Crap.
It's the EA one. I don't know what that is.
It is, because it was a trick. Yeah. It is actually Alan Wake, American Nightmare, and I Am Alive are part of the house party. And the game I brought to you and said was EA Warp Zone Nexus. Well, actually, those are two different games right in that title. So it's EA's Warp Zone and then a separate game called Nexus.
All right, that's bullshit. I'm not participating anymore.
All right, Richard. Come on, I can't make it too easy on you guys. All right, Mike, here's
yep.
one that you absolutely should completely get. How much data will you
60.
Get?
60.
How much data will you get in AT&T's lower tier plan for the PSP Vita? Is it 150 megabytes for $15 a month? Is it 250 megabytes for $15 a month? Or is it 500 megabytes for $15 a month?
You could see, if you could zoom in my brain now.
Yes.
There's just like a guy looking through filing cabinets, just like going, where is that? Where's that answer? Do we have that information around here? I'm sure I must have heard it somewhere. And he drops his glasses and steps on them and says, why? There's time now. The middle one, the 251.
That was a good stall tactic. I don't know if you know your Google search kicked in fast enough for you, but
no, I'm looking at my trainers. That's how much I'm searching. I was just looking. Maybe my trainers have the answer.
Chris, I would protest. You are correct, though. It is 250 megabytes. AT&T announced there's two plans officially now. $14.99 a month gets you 250 megabytes of data, and $25 a month will get you 2 gigabytes of data. The only silver lining in all of this, they are contract free, so you won't be suckered into signing up for 2 years or whatever. But yeah, all right, Chris, I'm going to move on to the next question for you. Are you ready? Are you still protesting?
I'll be Chris if he's going to protest.
Okay.
You're staging a sit-in.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike,
I'm in the army and stuff.
Mike, I'll give you your question first, and we'll let Chris get over his sit-in. Mike,
he's not really sitting in.
He is. He's sitting in on this call. How much is Netflix going to cost you if you want to use it on your PS3, Wii, or 360 in the UK right now?
Netflix. It's available in the UK?
Yeah.
Is it a monthly fee? Can I ask that?
It's a monthly fee. It is a monthly fee. So, here are your choices. Is it £5.99? £6.99? Or
£7.99?
Mike, you would be wrong. The answer is $5.99 a month.
£5.99.
Yeah. I'm tempted. Yeah. Yeah, so they announced it is available in the UK and Ireland. Because Ireland
is... Yeah, no one cares about Ireland.
Yeah.
But I'm tempted.
Go look for it. It should be available right now in the App Store. Chris, we're going to move over to you now. Which AAA game announced this week will be getting a demo prior to launch in the first part of this year? Is it A, Mass Effect 3, B, Max Payne 3, or C, Ninja Gaiden 3.
Ninja Gaiden.
Mass Effect, Max Payne, or Ninja Gaiden.
Yes. Demo, first part of this year.
Demo in the first part of this year. I'm going to go with Ninja Gaiden.
You'd be wrong.
It's not really a AAA game. I wouldn't have chosen that because it's not AAA, really.
In a short tweet sent out just today, BioWare confirmed their plans to release Mass Effect 3 demo prior to the threequel's launch March 6th. The tweet said, yes, we are absolutely doing a demo prior to launch. More info soon.
Cool.
That surprises me.
Yes.
They did a demo for 2, though.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Quite long as well. Apparently it was like an hour long.
Maybe I skipped it because I was going to get the game anyway.
Yeah. Who cares? Everyone's going to buy that game anyway.
This is true.
Possibly. We'll talk about that later.
All right. That brings us to Mike.
Hello. Oh, wait.
Yeah, you have 2 choices, Greg.
I know.
It's either Mike or Chris. And generally, whoever just answers a question is not the one that's answering the next question.
Yeah. This is going to go to Mr. Matthew.
Ho-ho. Sneaky, sneaky.
Yes, sneaky, sneaky. What is the name of the new map pack of the Gears of War 3 DLC coming on January 17th? Is it A, Phoenix Rising, B, Phoenix Risen, or C, Phoenix Burning?
Phoenix Rising.
And you would be correct.
Yeah. I was trying to remember because I was actually reading about that on – they had a review of some of the maps on IGN a couple days ago.
Yes. So Phoenix Rising – yeah, it's going to feature basically 5 new maps, which is kind of nice. Some unlocks for some skins. And the re-up feature, which basically will allow players to reset their number rank and unlock new bonuses. The maps that are coming out are Escalation, Academy, The Slab, Anvil, and Depths, which I believe 2 are remakes, if I'm not mistaken. Escalation and Anvil?
Well, Escalation sounds familiar.
Yeah, Escalation definitely is a remake.
They're coming fast with the DLC on this one. There's been like 1 every month since it released.
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice.
Allegedly, they're going to get to 2,000 possible gamer score with Gears 3 before they're done with it.
Okay.
Which I thought was not allowed by Microsoft. I thought Microsoft had capped it at 1750, but perhaps they have said, no, we're going to 2,000. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's okay. You can throw that out there. That's all right. Sorry, I am getting a little sidetracked by some other business going on here. All right. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick hiatus on the quiz. I've got a special guest to bring in, and then we'll resume the quiz because we're going to quiz the new guest.
I know who this is.
Yes, you should. We'll be right back. All right, so we are back with special guest in-house.
Ballin'. It's Chair Warden here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, God is right.
There's a reason why I do 2 podcasts. It's to get away from this guy.
You can't get away from me. I'm everywhere, baby.
Mr. Who Eric.
Kenny, I hear. Greg.
Oh,
Chris.
Yeah. Mr. Matthew. And no Mr. Primrose.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, well...
All right. Yeah, hey, you doing CPM?
I'm good. You?
Yeah. I'm doing all right. So what are you doing? Talk about video games?
We're talking video games. You are
video games.
Right at the perfect time to jump in for a little news quiz.
Oh, yeah. Putting news
first. If I ever meet Duke, I'm going to be seriously disappointed there's no sound effects traveling around.
I know.
Be like balling.
Yeah.
But all right, Eric. Here we go.
All right,
you're in the hot seat.
Oh snap!
The last 3 questions all coming your way.
What?
Show your prowess.
What prowess?
Well, hey, you got to represent. You got to represent.
I guess. Well, no, but the U.S. is already well represented here. Chinny's all alone.
This is true. Put on your best fake British accent. Yeah.
All right. So I'm supposed to pretend to be British?
You can if you want.
Oh,
I want Britain to be about British.
Okay, I'm ready. Ask me questions.
Wow. I'm offended on so many levels.
I'm drinking tea.
All right, Eric. Here we go. Which PC game was recently confirmed via Twitter that it's coming to a console?
Oh, I know this.
Is it A, StarCraft 2, B, Diablo 3, or C, Torchlight 2?
Oh, snap. I thought it was a different game. I'm going to say they wouldn't bring StarCraft. Why would they bother with that? Diablo 3.
And you would be correct, sir. Good job.
Yay!
Yes, Diablo 3 was confirmed. Basically, they kind of confirmed that Josh Mazaqueria, which I'm doing a horrible name job of reading his name, but he's the lead designer for the Diablo console project. So there you go. Yeah. All right. So, Eric.
Yes.
When will Microsoft be bringing Kinect to PC officially?
Oh, like next week, I hope.
Is it February 1st, April 4th, or September 5th?
They wouldn't wait till September. I'll say April 4th.
I'm sorry, sir. You are wrong. February 1st.
Really?
Yep. The Kinect for Windows will be available at the stores for $250.
God.
But supposedly it's a different camera. It does have some improvements, like a shorter USB cable. But more importantly, it'll actually have a near mode, which implies they're using a different lens inside of it. It'll let you get as close as 50 centimeters away from the camera.
I'll play the Kinect, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, my mate's got one. And I've got my mate's
like that. I've played a Kinect. I played a game on Kinect.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I played a Kinect. What did you
play on Kinect?
I played, well, you have one of those Nikon Zoom things.
Okay.
Right.
What the hell is that?
It's basically like a zoom lens in reverse, so you can go closer to the camera, so you don't have to stand so far back. It doesn't work. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Anyway, I played football something. I played football. Kinect Sports, and we played football. I got kicked in the leg. My mate kicked me in the leg by accident. It was not great.
Sure it was by accident? Yeah.
Yeah.
That 5 quid you owe me. Whoops.
It was that 10-year grudge when I stole his Jaffa cakes. But, you know, it's just like... It's the way you're real diva like the flaws it. It's true. I'm usually safe on the show if we've said anything.
I feel like we're podcasting with Duke now. Exactly. This is my worst nightmare come true.
You brought me on.
I know.
No, you didn't send email tough crap.
It's a little podcast love, you know?
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So, can I finish, please?
You're playing football. You got kicked in the shin.
Yeah, it's kind of fun for a bit. It's kind of like the Wii. You have a laugh and then you move on very quickly. So I don't have any desire to go and get one. They're pretty boring.
Greg, are you still getting a lot of use out of yours?
Every day, practically.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. All
right.
Xbox, you porn.
Exactly. All right, Duke. Last question for you.
Okay.
You're 1 out of 2 so far, you know?
Kick me off for good. Go ahead.
Yes, never coming back. Ever, ever. All right. What upcoming game was just delayed out of the first quarter of 2012?
Aw, jeez.
Is it A, Max Payne 3, B, Ninja Gaiden 3, or C, Ghost Recon Future Soldier?
We were just looking at a list of release dates last night, and I don't remember this. But I don't know if they were right, because they were Stu's fake dates photographed on a fake floor, so who knows. Sure. Oh, CPM knows.
Apparently CPM hates Greg.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say Max Payne 3.
Ah, you failed miserably.
Ah, jeez.
Ghost Recon Future Soldier, delayed now to May 22nd.
Really?
Jesus. Yep. And even more sad, the promised beta in January has also been delayed to April.
I've still got my Splinter Cell.
Yep. Hang on to Splinter Cell. Like, bro, a little more time.
I can play those while I can.
By the time they release this game, it's going to be Ghost Recon Legendary Soldier of days of yore.
Ghost Recon, you once heard about this soldier.
Once upon a time, soldier.
Yeah.
Yep, once upon a time indeed. Well,
I'm glad to represent. I did a good job for Britain to answer the question right.
One out of three, it's passing somewhere, I'm sure.
No. Failing everywhere.
If you could get on base one out of three at bats, you would make millions of dollars playing baseball.
Yeah, there you go. In baseball, you are a king right now.
I don't know nothing about no baseball. So,
well, Eric, I mean, we want to throw you onto the show. I jumped into your show the other night and kind of.
Oh yeah, you did, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
I was the one who brought him on too. He just logged on. I'm like, hey, come on the show, and he's like, okay, and he did. So
a little cross love.
But I gotta run. I gotta go hit the video game gym. I got my PS3 down there, Skyrim. Damn, every night I'm like, I can't wait to jump on the exercise bike.
I like it.
You're awesome. Going to be stick thin by the end of this year.
I got a lot of work to do in that direction.
Before you go, yeah. On a serious note, did you or did you not? I thought I read this. You were doing kind of a wheelchair deal where you were putting yourself in a wheelchair and doing a diary on it. Did
yes,
I read that correctly?
Month of December, I did a project at school where I taught in a wheelchair.
So, I mean, first off, huge props to you because I don't know that I could function at all trying to do something.
It was a challenge. It was a fucking headache sometimes. Like, you know, everything took twice as long. And, you know, my classroom is on the third floor. The main office is on the second floor, right near the stairwell. I would go literally out my door around one corner, down the stairs. I'm at the front office. When I was in the chair, I had to go halfway around the building to go to the elevator, to go down one floor, and then go all the way around the building again to get to the front office. So it was like major hassle. And then I'm like, hey, guess what? Sometimes using a wheelchair is a major hassle. So it was a very interesting eye-opening.
Did you ever kind of roll up to somebody who was like wheelchair-bound? And did they look at you going?
Students in the school who use wheelchairs. And they're like, what happened to you? And I was like, no, it's just a project. And they're like, oh, that's cool. So yeah, it was very interesting.
I thought that would have been like, oh, is this some kind of joke?
You faker. You perpetrating fraud.
Is this some kind of big laugh, is it?
Yeah.
And then the Curb Your Enthusiasm music would have played at the back.
Right. And, oh, it's the end of the month. Okay, just get up out of your chair. No, it's fine. Go ahead. Whatever. Walk on away. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a problem. It's a bit of an inconvenience for a month. Isn't
right.
it? Yeah.
You just go right back to not. But no, it's interesting. And I had some interesting conversations with Hell Patrol because he got in an accident and he's using a wheelchair now. So we had some interesting discussions about, like, video games, and he said that, you know, video games have been a big part of him sort of dealing with this different situation. And he's like, you know, I'm in Call of Duty, and I can just push that sprint button and just, you know, take off. And so yeah, it's been a very interesting experience.
Excellent. I should make a film where you enter another person's avatar, like a big blue or something,
ooh.
and then just kind of run around and then feel bad about colonialism.
Exactly.
Last question, Eric. Did you actually publish out your journal?
Oh, yeah, it's online. It's pchair.edublogs.org. So if people want to go read what I wrote about, you know, pretty much every day. I skip some days because I was so busy doing other things. But, yeah, it was an
excellent
experience.
Awesome.
Cool. Good luck on the podcast, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'll catch you later.
All right, Eric. Take it easy. See ya. All right.
I've got a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Stu asked me, all right, why hasn't Greg played Portal 2? And then my answer was, I don't think he's compelled to play it.
Your answer would be correct.
I played the original Portal.
I enjoyed it for what it was, but there was nothing about that gameplay that made me say, God, I can't wait to play more. I'm not a big, like, straight puzzle person. Like, if a game is just all about puzzles and nothing more to it, Even the funny writing and stuff, I'm going to have a hard time with that.
You're going to play it, though, right?
I'll eventually play it, yeah. It's just, you know, it's not on my immediate to-do list.
Mm.
Got better things to do, like Azure's Wrath demo, you know?
Well, I can't say nothing because I'm playing Need for Speed the Run instead of Elder Scrolls Skyrim, so what can I say?
Chris, just out of curiosity, are you still? Do you still hate me?
Yes.
Yeah, you probably should, because I think you would have won the news quiz based on the fact that you knew those answers instead of us letting Eric hijack. But you know what? It was a fun little side break, and I promise no more sound effects for the listeners that hate sound effects.
It's to say, well, if you hate sound effects, don't listen to the Veteran Gamers podcast, because that's what it's like. That was like a short snippet.
It's a short snippet, yes, yes.
Yeah, imagine that for 2 hours. Good luck.
All right, Mike, I think at this point we're kind of set up to do the show break, but this week we're going to incorporate Fanboy Speak as our show break.
That's correct, Greg. Now, this is kind of Fanboy Speak 2.0. It's a little bit long, so I said to Greg, well, we should make this kind of our break. So Chris, I know, sometimes likes to get a drink or whatever.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that sometimes you enjoy kind of using the break to get a drink.
What are you trying to – I don't appreciate your insinuation.
What is it?
Or your insinuation that I have a small bladder and that I need to get up and go to the bathroom right now.
These things happen.
Yeah.
Especially with old age. So I've done this Fanboy Speak, and it's I've commented it throughout. Now, we can't be too mean on this person. But the reason is, he's just a kid, Greg.
Mike,
you know,
it's funny you say that. Being an older person, you can be mean to anybody.
True, this is true. Now,
it's a rite of passage.
It's funny you should say that, Greg, because this kid is going to make you feel very old.
It's
very old.
Great.
He makes me feel old, so don't worry about this.
Boy, I can't wait to listen to this, Mike.
And you know how they say kids have this kind of dodgy attention span?
Yeah.
You know? I definitely think that he's suffering from this. So this is a bit long, but like I said, treat it as a break, guys. But
all right.
Enjoy. And this guy's called Curtis, and the YouTube kind of thing is called The Curtis Show. And what I love about this is that his icon has – I quite like this kid, actually, in a funny way, because his icon for his YouTube channel is just The Curtis Show written in the crudest paint drawing ever. No effort, not even bothered to use font. He just used, like, a pencil on paint and, just draw it, the Curtis Show. That's it, done. Brilliant. So here we go, The Curtis Show.
Hey guys, it's The Curtis Show, and I just want to talk about one thing real quick. And, this is my main topic.
Just spit it out, son. Just whenever you're ready.
So let's talk about the three big gaming companies. Okay, let's start out with Sony. Now, Sony is my personal favorite.
Well, there's a surprise.
Sony is, like, awesome, and I don't understand why people don't like Sony, because they're better than Microsoft.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
See, they make the PS3 people's, okay, and their PS3 is different than the Xbox 360. One, this is what I really like, is that the Xbox 360 uses a cartridge, or, like, a CD holder.
A cartridge is... Or a CD holder. Wow.
PS3 has like a little thing where it just goes in and just sits there and spins around or whatever it does. And it can't get damaged if you pick up your PS3, but on the Xbox, it can damage it, and I hate that. It can give it, and no matter what, it's going to give a ring around your disc, and I hate that too. And I also like that they have Blu-ray in a PS3 disc, which is it gives it a lot better... like HD quality, and Xbox is just HD, and this is Blu-ray. Blu-ray is the fantastic, epic word for HD. So anyway, basically there's not a lot of problems with Sony and Microsoft with their PS3s and Xboxes. This is a big one, Nintendo. Now, I have played Nintendo since the 64.
Oh, so since you was -3 then.
And, that was, like, right before the Sega. Like, I was playing Mario and, I can't remember, Sonic. Those were the two I remember. And I played the Nintendo 64 forever. Then I got the Sega, then I got the PlayStation, and I've been staying with PlayStation and stuff. That's basically my short little thing right there. And Nintendo lately has something 3 point something billion losses.
Sorry, what was that? How many losses?
has something 3 point something billion losses. And for the past 4 to 6 years, I think it is, they've been sucking. I mean, I think that Wii bombed. I mean, I hate the Wii. I mean, especially with the Kinect or the PlayStation Move. It's like the Wii's, Wii's people, the Dance Central. Like, when I'm at my friend's house and we're playing the Dance Central 2, no, not, yeah, 2, people are like this, like, just moving their hands. I get up and I'm actually moving my body, you know? I'm like, what are you doing? And then they're like, why is he doing that? I'm like, have you seen what Kinect can do? Just put a couple sticks in your hands and do the same exact thing. You'll do fine. I mean, and PlayStation Move, I don't think they have a game like that, which is kind of disappointing. But anyway, I think Nintendo is failing. That's all. Because this Wii came out, and I don't have a lot of fans. I don't have a lot of friends, I mean.
Well, there's no surprise. Well, that's a little bit unfair. He's only 12.
That are fans of the Wii, because honestly, the Wii isn't popular. This is what I take of it. And Nintendo is like one of those kiddie creations. I don't think they make one single bloody gore action nasty game. I think they did make that zombie one on the Wii, but what I think is the problem is, well, it's really, a Wii really helps, because a Wii helps gamers become gamers, because these little kids that are like super short to my knees.
Super short to your knees? What, are we talking like half a foot? A couple of inches? What?
They're going to want to play, like, their parents are going to be like, they cannot play Nazi Zombies. They cannot play Mile for 2, which I don't understand. I mean,
no, but it's perfectly fine that you're playing them. That's fine. No problem there.
No, besides the violence and the shooting.
Oh, yeah, the violence and the shooting and the mass murder and the subtle undertones of death. Death!
I hate the Wii. I mean, I don't hate them, but I don't disrespect them. I don't hate them. I can't stand that they're failing. I mean, come on. Come out with that Nintendo 64 or something, like a console. And if you think that Microsoft should upgrade next time on their Xbox 720 or Xbox 3, if they should do a major, whoo, like, boom, like, explode us, which I think they will to Xbox fans. And PS4 is going to go wild, you guys. PS4 is going to go, like, major. It's going to be out of control. People are going to think, oh, my God, this is Blu-ray 0.4. I mean, if they can upgrade Blu-ray, they can upgrade PlayStation. If they can upgrade PlayStation, they can upgrade, like, if they can upgrade the TV, the PlayStation, the Blu-ray, it'll be real life.
Real life? I don't want real life, kid. You're so young, you don't understand. Trust me, real life sucks. That's why I play video games. To get out of real life.
It'll be real life. It'll be 2000p.
That's a lot of p.
2000, yes. 2000p.
I really need to go to the bathroom now.
Instead of 1080p, 2000p. Man, that would be so realistic. It's like, you can see the little tiny particles, the little hairs sticking up. That would be awesome.
Really? There you go, Greg. Very excited kid.
I just like the ad. Really?
Really. So he wants 2000p.
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 Done.
He talks about the N64. He must be 12.
Yeah. A little before his time.
So, the N64 is 15 years old?
Yeah.
Man. And he barely remembered Sonic. He just went Mario and Sonic. I was like, oh, God. It's getting that time, Greg. I'm getting old.
You're getting old.
I know. But that was donated by Steve Conger, by the way.
Oh, we will have to thank Steve properly for that.
Steve Conger donated on. So if you find anybody on YouTube that you think's funny, send him over. We'll play him on the show.
You know, it's funny you say that. There's like some videos and stuff done by this guy named Mike Chin. It's kind of comical.
Yeah, well, there's one in particular that I think nobody's mentioned. Yeah, but no one mentioned that video. But yeah, I'm not going to hold grudges.
Nah.
No one mentioned that video.
Nah.
You know, not going to say nothing.
No, Mike, I will give my props to you. You're a pretty creative guy.
Yeah.
You do okay in that field, you know?
You should stick with that, kid.
Yeah, you stick with it. Yeah. All right. So enough of the fanboy speak. I think at this point we gotta
enough.
Jump into enough. Yes, thank you from the peanut gallery. It is time community mailbag. All right, community mailbag.
Community mailbag. Sorry.
That's okay. This show has taken a decided turn, I don't think for the better, probably for the worse, but that's okay. So we had this question, Chris. We threw it out there.
What, yeah, we did.
What are your must-have five pre-orders for 2012? And as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, I didn't really go with pre-order in my thought process. I just went for five, I think, must-have games. I have to admit, I kind of screwed the pooch on the question.
Well, that's because you're terrible.
Well, no. Yeah, okay, maybe. But I was trying to think of games that
But you made up for it a little bit.
Yeah, I went for games that weren't on everybody's list.
Would you like to know how you made up for being terrible?
Please tell me.
You bought me Orcs Must Die for my birthday.
Well, then damn it, there you go. all right.
Complete random thought. So are we going to go through each of our lists? Is that what we're going to do? Okay.
Why don't we go through our list after we go through the community list? Let's take care of the community one first. So, Chris, you diligently went through and calculated everybody's votes. I mean, seriously.
I don't know if calculate is the right word.
Well, it's a spreadsheet, so I'm going to go with calculated.
Tallied might be the right word. Counted. however you want to say it. So anyway, we got a lot of responses to the question of the week this week, and I was very happy to see that. Thank you to everyone who emailed in, tweeted, and responded on both the Gaming for the Elderly and the Lousy at Gaming forums. I'm not going to mention everyone's name because it would take the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
So I just want to go down the most anticipated games. So we're just going to go with what do you say? Five votes and higher.
I think that's a good place.
Five votes and higher. So starting with five votes, Tomb Raider, the Square Enix Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, surprising that wasn't higher, to be honest.
Yeah. Given the two communities that we kind of got most of the feedback from, that's kind of where I thought that one would be.
Okay.
Right. Rainbow Six Patriots, which I thought would have been higher.
Yeah, that I have to say, out of those two – yeah, that would definitely be higher, at least in my thinking.
But I also thought that was coming out next year. But hey, whatever. SSX, which is the snowboarding game.
Yeah.
And I was very surprised that this one was as high as it was, because it just didn't seem like something that a lot of our members would be into. But
yeah, it doesn't feel like a game that our community would necessarily be into. But I have a feeling it's going to be a really good game. And possibly our racing community, I could see getting behind this.
Yeah, maybe. I'll take a look at the demo. I remember playing SSX Tricky back on the PlayStation 1 and not really caring for it. But hey, whatever. And lastly, with five votes, Final Fantasy 13-2, which Mr. DeLacy wasn't all that impressed with.
Very Japanese, but you know, hey, all the Final Fantasy games are. So
imagine that.
Yeah.
Japanese game. Garnering seven votes, Halo 4, which is, I'm surprised more of the people at LAG didn't vote for Halo 4, but I wasn't surprised that a lot of people at Gaming for the Elderly didn't vote for Halo 4. Garnering eight votes, tied Aliens, Colonial Marines, and Grand Theft Auto 5, which kind of surprised me that those two were tied. It would seem that one of those would be a much more anticipated title than the
Aliens,
other.
Aliens, Colonial perhaps, Marines. Clearly,
yeah, exactly.
More anticipated.
Very funny. Very funny.
Yeah.
That game is going to be awesome. I'm just throwing it out there right now. Aliens, Colonial Marines. It's going to have the intensity and the scariness of a Dead Space 2, but you're going to have the camaraderie of being able to do co-op play. That's all I got to say.
I don't know. I don't care for it.
I don't care for you. Moving on.
That's what she said.
Ooh, burn. only slightly ahead of Aliens Colonial Marines, BioShock Infinite, which seems like a lot of people are looking forward to that.
And a lot of people are saying that's probably Game of the Year next year.
A lot of people, JS, that's lifelike.
No, no, a lot of like media outlets are propping this up huge.
I see.
Game of the Year.
Game of the Year. Game of the Year. One that I thought would be – well, one that's right about where I thought it would be, pretty high among the community, Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Yeah.
And I expected that one to be pretty high because it was really Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 that brought me into the community, as well as several other people who used to play the Grawl 2 Thursdays years ago. So that was good fun. In fact, I think you and Big Smooth even got in on Grawl 2 Thursday once in a while.
Yeah. I remember spending almost an hour trying to get that stupid achievement to kill.
Yeah.
And then
the 60-minute defender.
60-minute defender, and we got. I think we were in like our 57th minute, and the last dude died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have successfully completed that on three separate occasions. I kind of know how to do it now, but you need a good bunch of people that will cooperate and not run off go and do whatever the hell they want. Second most anticipated title of 2012, after the sleeper hit that started the series, Borderlands 2 got a lot of people excited.
I'm kind of surprised that's as high as it is.
I'm not. At least in Gaming for the Elderly, we spent a lot of time playing Borderlands 1 for a good few months when it first came out, and then when each of the DLC packs hit. That was one of those games that you could always just go to and have a good time with. It was, you know, wasn't too serious, wasn't too casual.
It's good fun. All right.
And the most anticipated title, at least according to this, to the responses from this survey, which have a relative error of 57.3%. I just made that up. Mass Effect 3, which would be probably my number one most anticipated title of the year.
Yeah, it definitely ranks right up there, and not shocking at all. I mean,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
So I think what will be interesting, I'm going to hang on to these results, and when December rolls around and we start the Game of the Year talk, see how many of these stack up. So just quickly, also receiving votes, and this is going to take a minute to read through, so bear with me.
Go.
Diablo 3, Assassin's Creed 2012, F1 2012, Darksiders 2, Street Fighter X Tekken, Star Trek Torchlight 2, Hitman Absolution, UFC Undisputed 3, The Darkness 2, Xenoblade Chronicles, Trials Evolution, Soul Calibur 5, NHL 13, Prey 2, Naruto Generations, South Park The Game, Resident Evil Raccoon City, Dust 514, Starhawk, Kingdoms of Amalur, which I believe also has a subtitle, The Reckoning.
Yes.
Which I've seen pictures of that. I've got good news for you.
They've got a demo coming out January 17th.
I'm going to have to check that out because, you know, it looked like a Swords and Dragons RPG, and I like Swords and Dragons RPGs.
Mike will love it.
FIFA 13, SimKit, The Last of Us, Luigi's Mansion 2, Kingdom Hearts 3D, and I already read that one somehow. I wrote it down twice.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Excellent.
So thank you to everyone who voted. Was very, very happy with the large response to this week's question of the week.
All right, so let's go roundtable here. So, Mike, why don't you give us your top five pre-orders?
Now you're kind of after games that maybe not on the cover.
Yeah. So I, you know, as I was listening to the question, I know on a whole, Mass Effect 3. You know, those, you know, the Halo 4s, they're all going to be on everybody's radar.
So we'll skip the fact that Mass Effect 3, GTA 5, and BioShock Infinite are on this list for me.
Okay.
Because those are kind of like certified, you know, bang on, I'm going to buy
them. Right.
I'll start off with Tomb Raider.
Okay.
A massive Tomb Raider fan, huge Tomb Raider fan. I love Tomb Raider. I've played almost all of them, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Okay.
That lull period at the end of the PS2 era, I didn't get into. The Angel of Darkness is the one that I didn't play. Tomb Raider 4, I didn't play very much. I played a bit.
So, real fast, Tomb Raider, I'm right with you. I think it's going to be a fantastic title. I'm excited about the reboot. I just want to kind of address – I've been hearing a lot of people bitching about the remake of Lara Croft and how they don't like the fact that they've made her into this weaker, more kind of almost feeblish young female character.
Well, the person who just recently guested on this show has got a problem with this. And his argument is I haven't played Uncharted 3 yet, but I know there's a flashback in that. But they wouldn't do the same to Nathan Drake. They wouldn't go back.
But Nathan Drake, he actually is, I think, a lot more human and has those moments of being scared and has those moments of being less than superhero-ish. And my take on the first of all, this is a reboot. It's a reimagining of the Tomb Raider series. It's not just a, we're just taking it back to a new beginning of the series. It's a, we're bringing it back to her as a young girl. And I'm telling you right now, Yeah, but there's very few young females out there that are going to be, I'm just going to take everybody on and shoot them all and kill them all and not ask for anybody's help. We don't know the context of when we've seen her in these videos. No. It seems like she has somehow, crash-landed or shipwrecked. And you got to love that.
Hello?
Just like that. Crash-landed or shipwrecked on this island and is scared. She's young. She's vulnerable. I think it's a great character reimagining, and it lends itself to a real credibility.
It doesn't bother me so much. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate, to be honest. But the thing is with Tomb Raider is that this is what I'll say about it is I think it's gonna be a very divided game.
It's possible.
I'll be shocked if it comes out and it's gonna be unanimously loved by everyone. So, a Batman Arkham song came out,
right?
And everybody loved it. Everyone loved it, right? And the people who didn't like it, you don't want to know them. You know what I mean? Who cares? Yeah. I don't think Tomb Raider is going to... I'll be shocked if Tomb Raider gets that much love, to be honest. It'll be, like a love it or hate it thing.
All right.
So, I'm curious, to be honest. I'm curious. I'm worried that it's going to be a little bit too handheld-y, a little bit too... grab the control away from you, but just make you quick time events or just run forward and it does all these cool stunts for you or something like Uncharted does a little bit. So I've got a keen eye on it though because it looks good.
Okay.
Yes. So Tomb Raider, another one that I'll put on the list of games that I'm looking forward to, is Hitman Absolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm tempted with this one. Hitman. I'm a big Hitman 1 fan, and 2. After that, they kind of go, there's another one, I think, and then there's Blood Money, and I didn't really care for those. But Hitman 1 and 2 I loved, and from what I saw from some of the previews, Hitman Absolution is looking very good.
IDOS, they're doing both these games, Tomb Raider and Hitman, and I think they're putting out some quality product.
I think so. There's not much really I can say, but I think the problem with Hitman Blood Money is it feels very much like a video game because the enemies walk around on paths, direct paths that they don't veer away from. Whereas Hitman, as these games progress, you see the cracks in these games, and so if an enemy sticks to a certain path or a certain pattern, it's gonna look a little bit stupid. So I'm curious to see how they solve that. Another one is The Darkness 2.
Okay. You were a big fan of the first one.
I liked the first one. I thought it was great. I think I played it twice altogether. And it's been long enough now, we're hungry enough for a sequel to that. I think that was 2006. No, 2007 that came out. That came out in August-ish 2007. So, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's 5 years. So... I'm ready to see what I'm a little bit worried that it's not the same people But they made, look, Stu pointed this out to me yesterday, the people who made this made Bioshock 2, which wasn't as bad as people thought it would be, but they also make Dark Sector, and I've played Dark Sector, and it's a bit of a guilty pleasure, but it's not that great, yeah. You know? So,
it is indeed a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, how many is that, 3?
I believe so.
Well, 3 so far. I'll say this one, a little bit unexpected, I think, you know, Prey 2. Is one that I'm curious.
It's on my radar as well.
People who've looked at this are saying Blade Runner.
Oh, exactly. It's got a distinct Blade Runner vibe with a little bit of kind of Star Wars thrown into it. I mean, you know, I'd almost say like Han Solo Blade Runner vibe because you're a bounty hunter in this world with aliens and and it's got that dark. Kind of moody vibe to it. It looks excellent, and it's such a diversion from the first Prey, which I was happy about because I did not particularly care for the first Prey. So
I hope they
really do kind of stick to their guns of kind of going a different course with the franchise.
It's just one that I've kind of heard people talk about. I've seen a few screenshots.
Not on a lot of people's radar yet, but it should be. It should be for sure.
I think it's potentially one of those games that could blow up.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It could be a game that take people by surprise.
I think it has. I think it's got Bioshock potential. That's where I think it fits in.
I'm torn for the next one.
Okay.
I'm torn. The Last of Us, or Syndicate, or Assassin's Creed 2012. Because I still love Assassin's Creed, despite revelations. It's not a grab, but. I think I'd have to pick The Last of Us because it's new.
Yeah.
I just want to see more of what those guys can do. It's nice that it's a new IP. Not a great name for a game, to be honest, but...
Well, it's hard at this point to put it into context. I mean, it could be a great name for the game, but we really don't know much about it yet.
True. But, I mean, just the way it sounds, it's like The Last of Us.
But it's Naughty Dog.
I know. Yeah, you've got to trust the developer.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
You've got to trust the developer. If they've made good games before, I try and trust them, and usually that doesn't go wrong. Like the only example I can think of that would go badly wrong is Too Human. Yeah. They made Eternal Darkness, and that was great, and then they made Too Human. Yeah. What's the name? Silicon Knights. Yeah. And I'm like, I will never trust them ever again. But
X-Men Destiny since then. I mean,
it's downhill. But the Naughty Dog, they haven't put us wrong in the last 5-6 years. So I'll give that one a go. Yeah, I'll give that one a fair shake.
All right.
I've got Uncharted 3 today, by the way. I've got Uncharted right next to me. So I'm looking forward to playing
that. You'll enjoy it. All right, Chris, how about you? Give me some pre-order musts.
Well, mine are all pretty big titles.
That's okay.
I don't really have any obscure titles that I'm looking at. You know, the definites for me this year are Mass Effect 3, Borderlands 2, and Ghost Recon Future Soldier. And probably the other two are Halo 4 and Grand Theft Auto 5. But there's a lot else out there that I got to take a look at. You know, I mentioned the Kingdoms of Amalur. I want to take a look at that demo. The new Tomb Raider, I'm interested in that as well. Those are probably I guess that's 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean it's so hard to there's so many games coming out, and it seems like we say this every year. I do feel like this year feels a little better spaced out than last year did.
There's probably going to be a lot of announcements soon.
That's true, too.
I think I'll probably get those 7 games this year. And I know it's already out and it doesn't count, but I plan to get Skyrim at some point in time this year.
Yeah, you will not regret Skyrim. I'm totally on board with you with Halo 4. I'm really kind of curious to see how... Well, 343 does, without having Bungie there as a safety net. And
I'm excited by that.
I'm excited also because there's been some kind of, hints and rumors about them taking things a little bit differently in terms of some of the gameplay mechanics. I don't know how much or how willing they're going to be to tweak it or change it up, but I almost kind of am okay with it,
I've got the feeling that people who are working on Halo 4 want to work on Halo 4.
This is true. There was a pretty interesting interview. They were talking about the team at Halo 4 versus kind of the mood of Bungie. Bungie, towards the latter part with the Halo series, just, I mean, they were done making Halo games. They really wanted to be able to move forward.
You could understand that.
Yeah.
Though.
No, totally.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh my
and,
God. You know, just hand it over to somebody
and
else.
And I guess 343, when they interviewed everybody, one of the main criteria for the interview was you had to want to make Halo games. Like, it was, you know, the people that are at 343 are passionate about Halo. So that's good. Anyway.
That is good.
So a couple other games that I can throw into the mix for games, and this is more looking forward to, you know, I want to say pre-orders because I think these are all safe bets. Metro Last Light. The Metro the series has completely been overlooked, but every game has been really solid so far. And Metro Last Light should be coming out latter part of this year.
There's not even one, though, right?
There was Metro 20. There was 2033, and there was another one. There's been, I think this is the third installment, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember the number.
Sure?
I'm not positive. Don't hold me to it. But I want to say there's been two Metro games, and the third is coming out now. Steel Battalion, Heavy Armor.
Oh, of course.
Very excited for this game. High hopes. It'll be on my pre-order list up until somebody says it's shit. but no, I love the original Steel Battalion game. It was
and
fun.
It's mechs.
Mechs, come on. How can you go wrong? So many ways.
So many ways.
So here's a few that are going to be under the radar, but these are going to be titles to look forward to. Two of these are Xbox Live Arcade titles, so you're not going to be able to pre-order them, but they're definitely games to look forward to. So first up, though, an XCOM game. Now, I know everybody's like, oh, the XCOM first-person shooter's coming out, but there was just announced XCOM Unknown Enemy is basically a reboot of the turn-based strategy game that we all know from XCOM UFO Defense. It's coming out this year. I'm super excited for it. It sounds like they are being very faithful to the core mechanics of the turn-based strategy, managing your squad, sending them out.
You're an old XCOM fan,
right? Oh, yeah.
Right?
Huge XCOM fan. And it's coming out. It was a total surprise. Came out of left field. I Am Alive. It is, in fact,
oh, wait,
a game. I'm sorry, Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just doing a little bit of Googling while you were talking about XCOM. Did you mention that this is being made by Firaxis?
No, I did not. So that they've got good pedigree.
Yeah, they're the ones that made Civilization Revolution.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So pretty excited for that game. I Am Alive also. It's actually coming out pretty quick. I believe it's March. Well, we just talked about it. March Xbox Live House Party. I think this is going to be a nice little title. I'm a little wary in that, you know, hey, it changed from being a full disc game down to a downloadable title. But everything I've seen, all the different game mechanics I've heard about, I think it's going to be something new and different in the kind of platforming action genre. And so I'm pretty excited to see how it does. And then the next game, Hybrid. And this is going to be a fall arcade release. It just caught my eye, and it's one of those games that I heard about it probably about a year ago. And it's made by the guys that did Scribblenauts, so it's a Fifth Cell. And you know, it's a post-apocalyptic, it's tough to say, action game. But it's kind of almost like squad management shooter.
What's this?
Hybrid. It's called Hybrid.
Hybrid.
Yeah, let me. I'll send you a link to it so you guys can check it out. Of course, people at home, you're just gonna have to look it up. But yeah, it's got some promise. And again, it's gonna be an arcade title. You know, arcade shooters always potentially hit and miss. I remember being very excited for. You know, Tango Down, and that didn't go so well. So, we'll see. But anyway, that does it for my list. And I guess at this point, Chris, maybe we should talk up some tweets. I'll take the first few if you want to take Oh, actually, there's only three. I'll take them all. So we had one from Kevin Knight, and he tweeted the show, and he just wanted to say, hey, basically, Orcs Must Die is on sale for 600 points and Defense Grid for 400.
I bought the Orcs Must Die and I bought South Park.
Just. We all have jumped on the bandwagon and bought them today.
Oh, yeah.
Then we had an email from Tony the Prawn. And he said, thank goodness for the OC podcast. It's really helping me get through my first day back at work. Got me wanting to play Halo, though.
That person opposite you hates you.
Hey, but, you know, wanting to play Halo, is that really a bad thing? Come on.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. We'll play some Halo.
Good thing. Halo.
And last but not least, Amros89 sent in a tweet and said, OC podcast, to the Defense Grid watching, you could always be like Iza Malizi and just say there should be a meteor tower everywhere. Lol.
Lol, lol, lol.
And yeah. Meteor tower everywhere is not a bad call.
Expensive. Won't get gold medals that way.
No, probably won't get gold medals that way unless you're really fast with the selling off of your stuff at the end. Chris, why don't you go ahead and read the email from Parsnip, if you would be so...
The email from ParsnipMose3000. He says, hello, people. On podcast 149, Skulltuckerer was pondering whether people had dreams in three dimensions. Yes, everyone has dreams in three dimensions, but if you think about it, when you're a kid and you have one of those dreams where you think you're sitting on the toilet only to wake up and find out that you weren't, it's actually possible to have a dream in four dimensions. So, sure. Yeah. Kind of like the theaters at Disney where they spray water on you and stuff.
That's not four dimensions.
Huh?
What?
Huh?
What?
I don't know.
What just happened?
Reading emails. Exactly. Exactly.
Also, I thought I'd mention that when CP and I were playing Fable the other day, a stat popped up to inform me that Greasy Fish Lips has had two STDs. And he says, I suppose that accounts for his Greasy Fish Lips then.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's horrible.
I told him to send that in because he said that and I laughed. So I was like, you should send that into the show.
It is funny that stat popped up.
It is pretty funny. Well, the joke's funny too. See you next week, Parsnip.
Thank you for the email, Parsnip. And we'll actually be hearing from him shortly. But for now, let's talk question for next week. So next week podcast, it's going to be our prediction podcast. We're going to talk about 2012, some predictions. I didn't want to let this go too late. I thought about doing it this week, but I said, you know what, we've got enough with our five pre-orders. Let's talk about it next week. So we want the community, give us one real and one outrageous prediction for 2012.
I like that, Greg. I like that. One real one. One kind of, yeah, could happen. Yeah. One crazy off the wall.
Go crazy with it. So 2012 predictions. Let us have
the
it.
The crazy one could be something like The Last Guardian's coming out this year. Something crazy like that. It's never going to happen.
Totally not going to happen. You know, crazy. Microsoft buys Sony. There you go. Crazy prediction. 2012.
But not that one.
But not that one. Don't do that. That's mine. All right. Chris, play dates.
Play dates.
Yes.
Friday night, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern and continuing until no one cares anymore. David the Alien will be hosting Forza 4, so come on out and trade some paint. And if you didn't get enough trading paint on Friday, Sunday is round two of the 2012 Team Mini Racing Tournament. We had the first round last Sunday. It was quite a good time. I think there were 14 people racing in two AI cars, all in specially tuned minis. It was good fun. Points, of course, for finishing order, but also for – you get bonus points for making a pit stop during the race because the race isn't long enough to need a pit stop. But if you make one, you get bonus points. Bonus points for crossing the finish line in reverse without hitting anyone. Bonus points.
I like
so
it.
The way it's working is the
like
top
it.
Three finishers from each race – have to drive a substandard car in the next race.
That's excellent.
So right. All the, you know, so if you lap one of those substandard cars during the race, bonus points for that. So lots of interesting and creative ways to score, and it was good fun.
I like it.
Yeah. And that's happening at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. The veteran gamers will be having Texas Hold'em Poster on...
Poster?
Yeah.
Texas Hold'em Poster.
Texas Hold'em Poster. Poker on Xbox Live at 6 p.m. Gross Mountain Time.
Nice.
Or whatever time it is over there where people speak English.
I really get Happy a kick out of the fact. No, sorry. I just get a kick out of the fact. The Gross Mountain Time, it's sticking. It's got traction.
Yeah. It's because you said something really dumb and everybody's making fun of you. Happy birthday this week to Watcher 187, Inflamed Nick, Ian Mack, Highlander XI, and General Chaos. And welcome this week to the new members, Hellhead, Whiplash, Cam 1981, Pizza, or else Pizza is going to send out for you, Frankie McGee, and Rolamite. Frenchie McGee, excuse me.
Or Frank.
I'm not the only one that doesn't get all these references, right, Greg?
No, not at all. I get like one or two out of all of them. Usually.
Pizza the Hut, Spaceballs.
See, no. I saw it, but yeah, I just didn't pay attention.
You should watch. That's part of your mandatory annual movie watching.
Okay, fair enough.
If you had to give me a movie to watch this week, Chris, what would it be?
Spaceballs.
I knew that was coming.
No, I've seen that. It's okay at best.
You should see it again.
And again.
And again.
Give me another one, please. Just not Spaceballs.
Man, I don't know.
Just give me one.
It's kind of on the spot. Why don't we come back to that, ponder the question while we listen to Parsnip and the Community Spotlight.
Let's
do that.
Hello, everybody. This is Parsnip Knows with the latest Community Spotlight. This week, I want to mention everyone that took part in the Mini Cooper tournament on Sunday. It was very silly and a lot of fun. We had 14 of us all together, all racing Mini Coopers around little tiny tracks. So, as you can imagine, it was pretty crazy. We had David the Alien, Marcanix, Quidgy, CP, Cotamurl, Ginge, Cardinal, Freaksy, Bongo, Andy, Shiny, Kev, and You're the Shed. So thanks, everybody, and I look forward to seeing you next week for some more madness.
All right.
Madness.
There's like a list of ruffians right there. Hoodlums, all of them. All right. Chris. Did we lose Chris? Is Chris still pondering things?
I'm here.
You were pondering a film, weren't you?
I was pondering, but based on the silly voice that Mike just did, which I think was supposed to be Yoda, who was voiced by Frank Oz, I'm going to say that you need to watch The Muppets Take Manhattan this week.
The Muppets Take Manhattan.
Or The Great Muppet Caper, one or the other.
And you may want to invite your niece and nephew over.
Nah, they talk all the way for fun.
Okay. But more importantly, Chris... we had a little contest we threw out there.
We did.
So basically,
you got to put the names in a hat and draw one.
We do. And we're going to do that as we're talking here. Why don't you cover over the quick ground rules of the contest? I will get that name going, and we'll go.
So while Greg is doing what he should have done before the show, here's the contest. This week and for the next 3 weeks following, we're going to pick randomly one name from our list of iTunes and Zune reviews. It doesn't have to be a new review, just has to be a review that exists, preferably 5 stars, you know, because we're awesome. We're going to pick that name randomly. If you win once, we're not going to pick your name again because that would be unfair.
Yes.
And the winner will receive a code for 100 Microsoft points. Not a whole lot, but enough to get yourself an avatar item, or some cool Saints Row the Third items, or whatever.
Or puts you right over the top to get some Orcs Must Die DLC.
Or it could be just enough to get Orcs Must Die. Yes.
Orcs Must Die.
And congratulations to...
Da, 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 da.
I Pete.
Yes. Well done,
I
sir.
Pete, thank you for the review. And, in fact, we'll read his review just for the sake of reading it. He said, "What the hell's a podcast? I just like clicking on stars." So for that, IP, that 5-star review, that gets you 100 Microsoft points. Congratulations. $1. Yes.
$5.
I know we do have a new review. I believe it came in on the US side. And
Greg, have you what was the last UK one we read?
I don't know.
Was it Grace's dad? Did we read that one?
Why don't you go ahead and read it for the sake of reading it?
It was 3 words long.
Well, then you should read that.
I don't remember that at all. Look, so that's what I'm saying. But anyway, it's a 5-star review, and it's titled Bosch Avit, right? And then it goes, quality, enough said. I like it.
Sometimes simplicity is the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes simplicity is indeed the best. But we did have a little more lengthier review from Dauntless Ansible. And this is just from this past January 5th. It says, entertaining show where the games and industry news are discussed in detail. Cool perspectives when both American and British sides of the ocean are represented. The hosts have experience on multiple systems and are willing to play and talk on games that are outside their typical genres. No, we're not. Great show. Keep up the good work. Very funny this week, guys. Found myself laughing dangerously at work. Thanks.
Dangerously.
Yeah, well, he's a school bus driver.
All right.
I think he's a bailiff on the people's court.
I like that better. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
He could also be a forklift driver.
I almost got thrown out of court once for laughing.
Really?
For being the bailiff?
No, I was on jury duty, and I drew a picture of the woman next to me, like, for fun. And I showed it at her, and she laughed, and then I started laughing. And then the guy next to me started laughing, and those rooms in court are very
quiet.
The acoustics in them they're very good. The acoustics, so you can hear everything. So like I was like I'm gonna get thrown out of court. Shit, but I didn't. It was close though.
Yeah, what a shame you don't have to do jury duty anymore.
Well, I only did it for 3 days, and then I had like 2 weeks off. It was a piece of piss.
There you go.
Got paid for it.
Well, oh, hey. Right. If you've given us a review, or you were thinking about a review and you're like, oh, they just gave away the 100 points, I can't win, you still can.
Damn it.
Because we're still –
really?
Yes, it's not over
How?
Yet. It's not over yet. It's not
what?
Over until Chris sings.
I don't sing.
It's never over. This contest will go on forever or until we run
Game
out
over,
of codes. But more
over.
Importantly, we do have more codes, so we're going to do this again next week. So – you know, if you haven't thrown a review up on iTunes, go throw one up. If you have a Zune, one of the few that out there that do, throw up a Zune review on Zune Social. We will we'll pull you from everywhere. Yeah, we're like that. We're good like that. So
that's
the only person that won't get a code is iPete because he just won.
He's laughing all the way to the Microsoft Point Bank.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Now,
did we read Steffi Business? Is this iTunes review on the UK side?
You know what? It doesn't sound familiar. Mike, why don't you read that review? Show people how it's done.
This is on the 25th of November, so we read these regular, right? titled Awesome, 5 stars. This has become my second go-to podcast after 360G. Keep it up, guys. And also keep playing the hip-hop I've been a gamer and hip-hop man since 83.
Okay.
Well done, fellas. We're his second choice. 360G.
Yeah, second choice. Yeah.
Second choice.
He does like the hip hop.
We're the first losers.
We let him down this week, though. We let him down this week without the hip hop.
No hip hop, but we got a kid.
Yeah, we did.
It's not too late.
It's too late.
We got
Mike.
We're too
Mike,
late.
If you were going to email the show,
yep.
Where would you send your email? Or more importantly, if you wanted to send us an MP3 file, around 2 minutes long. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Where would you send that?
I'd probably just ask you to log on Skype and send
it. You might. Yeah. But if
I wasn't on the show, right. Greg, I would send an MP3 clip or just a text-based email, right, of kind of the question of the week, you know, one outrageous prediction and one normal prediction, to ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. And, Chris, if you were feeling particularly lazy and decided you didn't want to go through the trouble of emailing the show, but you wanted to at least get something off your mind, like one outrageous prediction and one kind of real prediction, and you wanted to tweet that, where would you tweet that to?
On Twitter. Where else?
Man, you love doing this to me, don't you?
Well, if you wanted to make sure that we saw it, if you wanted to be sure we saw it, you should put @OC_podcast at the beginning of your tweet.
Yes, you should. Thank you, Chris, Matthew.
Or in the middle, or at the end.
Somewhere. Or somewhere in that tweet.
3/4 of the way between the predicate and the other part of the sentence.
And yeah, at this point, I think it's time for us to do some shout outs. Mike, last week you didn't have any, so maybe you might have one this week.
No, not really. But I'll shout out Eric Petrovsky for having a stupid last name that I can't pronounce. So,
Petrovsky.
How's that working out for you?
Petrovsky.
Sounds Russian. He's a Jew. I don't know.
Hey.
What?
A lot of Jews came from Russian background. So there's huge Jewish community.
I don't mind being ignorant. I don't mind. I quite like it. I'll shout out video games. I like those. I'll also shout my video about video games. I made a montage, Greg.
Yes, you did.
I made a montage on the YouTube. If you type in Veteran Gamers, go to the Veteran Gamers YouTube channel on YouTube. It'll be there. It'll be the last video
it's
we put up.
It's a very good video, Mike. I wanted to give you some...
It's a video of all the games in 2011. Most of them made it. Most of them. Bastion didn't. Homefront didn't.
How could Bastion not? That, you know what? Forget it. Don't watch this video. That's crap.
You know why? Like, I did put it in. I took it out because it didn't quite look right where it was. And then I just didn't put it back in. The Homefront video, I've got the clip on the computer. It was already in there and I took it back out because it just didn't quite look right where it was. I wasn't happy with it. So I moved it out. And Homefront didn't make it in because,
You're a hater. You're a hater.
No, I like Bastion, but I played the demo. I didn't play the game. So I'll share that video. Please, if you have a look at it, I don't know, show your friends and family. Show your kids. Hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband too. And I'll share it Walker's Crisps.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah, see, you know that reference. I'll share it Walker's Crisps. Walker's Crisps. I've been addicted to them for the last week. I'm a big crisps fan, or chips, as you guys say. They've released a new brand of crisps, the sea salt wheat thing, and they're brilliant, Greg. They're so nice. So I'm just addicted to them at the moment. It's a problem that I'm trying to overcome, and I'm slowly getting there. So with some help and the right people around me, hopefully I'll do it. Chris, what's your shout-out? Go.
I'm going to shout out Artful Codger and gamertag Cave Dweller for hooking me up with some Fable 3 weapons. It's very kind of them to square that away for me. And everyone who responded to the question of the week, there were a lot of people. And I just want to say again how happy we always are to receive said feedback. And I'll shout out Duke Scath for coming on the show and sharing some zaniness with us for a tolerable amount of time and then pissing off. The tweets is Greg's turn.
Wow, how do I follow that up? No, I will. I'll give a shout out to Eric too. Thank you for coming into the show. And it was, it was nice having him in for the short amount of time. It was.
I have got another one, Greg. I forgot to shout out somebody. It's Bling78. Sent me a message this week. And now and again, I don't know about you guys, but now and again, you'll get that message on Xbox or whatever saying, hey.
Yeah.
listen. So I do have a genuine shout out. I'm quite proud. Bling78 said he enjoys listening. Okay. So,
Bling78, there you go.
Yep.
And that kind of goes with my last part, which is I just really want to shout out the Gate community and everybody else that, even if you're not part of the Gate community, you're listening to the show.
Or if you're part of the gay community and you're on the wrong podcast, you're welcome.
Well, Greg lives very close to San Francisco, so he doesn't have to go far to shout
Yeah, the hate mail, Chris Matthew at
what? What?
What?
I'm just saying.
I think gay people are going to deny that San Francisco is a little bit dense in the gay area.
I don't think you can deny it's dense in the gay area.
I don't really care. If that's what you want to do. I really like the town of San Francisco, but it is a fact that large population of gay people.
Just saying, Greg, if that's where you like to go.
No.
I hope you can look your wife in the eye.
Back to my shout out. Thank you to everybody listening to the show. We are.
Why do they do it, Greg? Every week they do it, and I don't know why.
Because they like the punishment that we dole out, I think. They're sadomasochistic, whatever. I don't know. But I can tell you this. We appreciate everybody listening to the show. We do it because it's fun for us, but we like entertaining you guys too, and it's always great getting the feedback, like Chris said, when you guys perk up and you take part in the questions of the week, you send us the feedback. I mean, that's why we kind of do it. So,
yeah.
150 down, guys. 200 more, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, we're not going out on show 101. We ain't pulling that business.
Yeah, like the case commissioner.
Show 100. Here's to 100 more. All right, I'll see you later.
I got to do this thing.
Yeah.
I sent JF a message on New Year's as well.
Yeah? Did he respond?
And he responded. Yeah. He still comes on Xbox, but he just watches Netflix.
He's a Netflix guy.
He was playing NBA 2K.
NBA 2K.
For a little while.
Yeah, fun game.
He's got his little personalized locker.
I told him. I said him and Jason need to record a little segment for the show again. That'd be good.
Totally welcome that. Completely welcome.
I'm just looking at Frank Oz, Chris. That guy's a busy guy.
Yeah. Muppets. Big.
Muppets. Yoda.
Cookie Monster. Just Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster.
Speaking of cookies.
And Miss Piggy.
See, now you're making me hungry. All right.
So wrong that I fancy her.
It's very wrong. We got to end the show. It's done. I think it's time. To go. Say good night.
Good night.
Labyrinth, come in.
I haven't checked the UK side.
My wisdom tooth hurts.
I'm sorry to hear that.
My wisdom tooth really hurts, Greg.
You should get it fixed.
It's like splitting the fucking my gums apart.
Well, get it fixed, dude.
Ignore it.
Why?
Because it's fun. It's comedy value, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trevor, what the heck have you been playing this week?
Baby! Don't treat me bad.
Oh, sorry.
News.
Swear to God, people want something for nothing.
Greg, will you give me something for nothing?
Everybody wants something nothing. That's something for nothing.
No, I don't believe in it. You will pay.
That ain't living.
You will pay for something.
That's the way you do it.
You'll pay for something and you will get nothing.
Play the guitar on that MTV.
Give me my payment schedule, bitch.
I can't look at that. Okay. Let's do this. Let me close the door over, grab something to drink. Why don't you guys settle in, get yourself ready. I don't know. It sounded
strap in.
Yeah, strap in. It's gonna be big.
Yeah, bumpy ride.
This is video. Enjoy.
Please watch video. You won't read this.
Never mind. Work is calling.
Fired.
It's the bat phone.
Greg, there's an emergency on the building. We must get to the woman immediately.
Fuck you, I don't want to do it.
No, Greg, we need to.
You don't believe in me. You don't need a superhero no more.
We need you, Batman. We need you.
No, you had your choice.
Batman.
Brr.
Seriously, what do these people expect? Do they expect me to be working 8 to 5? That's just not going to happen.
Fucking Jesus. So they expect me to do my job.
Seriously.
You're an ass.
Let the record show that you are an ass.
Asshole.
Let it be written, lest it be forgotten, that Greg DeLacy is an ass.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.